He let the light in. Oh, my lands. Nicole, are you here? Come hither.
It's like she's in come trouble. Hither.
What? I'm coming.
Come,
I'm coming,
my people.
Coming. I know. Come, my
you,
people.
Okay, and Nicole, the God who sees. What in the world? Oh, my gosh. Okay.
I'm still stuck on Jody's. I'm still stuck with Jody.
I'm just.
Yes.
You guys got mics? You got what you need?
Let the light in, open up the windows. Let the light in, open up the windows. Let the light in, let the light in, let the light in, open up the windows. Let the light in, open up the windows. Let the light in, open up the windows. Let the light in, open up the light in. Let the light in.
Yeah! All right, that was a moment.
That was a dream come true right there.
It was for me. All right, now, sister girls, they had so many questions that they asked. There's no way we could have asked them all. And fascinating, I just want you to know we have a fascinating, thoughtful group of women here.
Yes.
Because these were great questions.
Yes.
So what I did is I pulled some of them. Nicole's going to be reading them for us. But you are just as much in this conversation, sister. So just
I'll read
so
it,
you know,
yeah,
yeah.
I want you to answer the question for her that she doesn't want to answer.
I know, right? Like, no, I so
mind.
Watch her, Jody.
I know,
watch her.
I don't mind at all.
Okay, so okay. Let's go through them. What we got here?
So this first one is for you, Jennifer.
Okay.
Okay. It says you're so inspiring because you really are. Okay. The question is, how do you stay in sync when you're speaking? Sighted people use cards, note cards, outlines. What do you use? Let me just say something really quickly. This woman is brilliant.
Oh, gosh.
Brilliant. I'm sitting there flabbergasted. You're brilliant.
Oh, you're
so
sweet.
So go on and tell them the rest of it. All right,
well, right. Takes one to know one. Takes one to know one. I will tell you this. What I do by memorizing and staying on topic, everyone is capable of. So don't think this is a superpower.
It is.
What we depend on with our eyes, great, you know, I'm not able to do. So therefore, I've had to learn this. So I spend a lot of time, I first meditate on anything I'm trying to learn. I try to get a global understanding of it, give it context, places in my life that make sense to me. I try to live it. And then I begin a memorization process. So like what I did this morning with that message, I have a ladder that I create in my mind. That ladder had three rungs. Because there were three points, if you remember. I remember it's based on Amos 9-11. Let's just be honest, 9-11 is an easy number to remember, okay. Right? Because that was a tragedy, but what's that verse about? Hope. And then if you notice, all of the segments of that verse begin with our words. And so I know you got to repair something before you can restore it, so that's how I put those in order on the ladder to remember. So I try to memorize either based on concepts, based on mnemonic devices, and on every rung of the ladder I have my point, but then on top of it I stack pictures. So even though I cannot see, in my mind I've got pictures stacked there. So I see Connor with a broken balloon right there on top of Amos 9-11, repairing broken things. And I build based on that. And then I see Israel. Then I see a broken Jesus broken on the cross. I see all the pictures, and they lift to the next rung of the ladder, which gets me to the next point. So that's how I do it. It does take focus. Mm-hmm. And the older I've gotten, the more focus it takes, like everything else. But that's just the grace of God, and it is accessible to all of us. You don't have to be blind to be able to access that ability for your memory.
Okay, I'm hanging on every word you just said, and I wish I could have written it down. But I'm going to go back to what I said. She's brilliant. Okay. Excellent. Thank you. Okay, question number two. Who is your role model from the Bible?
This is for all of us?
For all of us, yes. Role model.
Well, I'd be curious your answer, Nicole, since you just talked about Ruth.
Oh, I have several.
Okay, who?
Ruth would be one. Abigail, another, who had Nabal. Wow. Read that story, it's great. Esther, of course. Love Esther. The woman at the well, that's my girl. Don't talk about her, y'all. Okay.
Amen.
Bathsheba, she wasn't as bad as they say. It was David. He was watching her. I'm just don't
right?
get me started.
She was doing her thing.
Yeah, he saw her from his roof. It didn't say she was on her roof. I'm just saying,
that's
read
right.
it, people. Give her credit.
That's right.
Let's see. There's several of them. Like, there's a lot of women. Of course, Christ is my favorite figure there. But there's a lot of great women in the Bible because I see how God like used them and how he related to them, and it gives me hope for him relating to us in the same way.
Well, the way you unpacked Ruth for us, Jody and I were talking about, you took something complicated and decomplicated it, made it very accessible.
Thank you.
I think there's some out there who would say, now Ruth's my role model.
Ruth is my girl, okay?
Yeah. Right, and then the genealogy.
It was beautiful.
I was over there in case I started coughing. I watched it from over there, but people wonder, you know, why do they do all this in the Bible? You know, why, you know, why is Matthew the first book of the New Testament? Because it has the genealogy of Jesus. And why did Matthew do that? He was a tax collector. He was focused on detail and all of that line.
And so, it matters.
But you spelled it out so great. Yeah. And it was like, yes, this is why. You know?
And it's something, they never put women in genealogies.
No.
So for Matthew to have five women in that genealogy was kind of scandalous at the time, I'm sure. You know what I'm saying? But he named those same women we were talking about to show that this is who Christ came from and who he also came for.
Amen.
And that's how we qualify.
Woo. So Jody, what about you? Do you have any specific role models? And they don't have to be female.
Right. Well, you know, I could go with the Christ one.
Well, of course.
you are Deborah.
I love the fact that the woman at the well was the first evangelist.
Yes.
Right? She is the first one to go tell the news of Jesus, so the first one to do that. I love Mary Magdalene, how faithful she was, just faithful.
Yeah.
You know, even going to the tomb or the gardener, like, where have you put him? Where have you put him? I want to, I'll go get him. I'll go look.
That would have been you.
Right? Yes.
Wouldn't that have been her?
Carry him on back.
Yeah.
But.
And she gets a bad rep, too, because they always think that she's the woman of Bethany, like Mary of Bethany. She was not the sinful woman, Mary Magdalene. She was actually the one that Jesus delivered from the evil spirits. She was tormented. She was depressed. She had issues, you know.
But, and he said, Mary. When you do that on the God who sees, just Mary.
Well,
I'm going to break the stride here. I'm all for women, pro women, yay women. But I have such a crush on the minor prophets, I got to say. I do. I love the minor prophets. And would I say they're role models for me? I don't know. They're aspirational to me because I appreciate the uniqueness of their personalities, yet how they all obeyed God in the way and in the time God called them. Like Hosea, he lives out a hard love story in front of the people to communicate the message. Haggai just shows up and he's like, you can do it, guys. Amos comes in and he is harsh, man. But he ends with hope. And he was just a fig farmer and he shows up in a big city. Like it would be like somebody going from a teeny town in Arkansas to New York City and saying, y'all are in sin. It takes guts. So all of them, I think it's the spirit of the minor prophets that is very, very much a role model for me.
I love that. Okay, so question number three is for me. All right, I like this question, actually. It says, how can I, as a white woman, approach a black woman or talk to a black woman? I love this question.
I'm so glad you do. I think people are afraid to ask it.
I know, and that's what I'm sad about because I feel like our culture has made it to where you as my white Caucasian sisters have been put on a new defense. Like, and I apologize for that. On behalf of us as your sisters of color, I would say, honestly, first of all, I'm sorry that that is happening. Number two, you have every right to approach a black woman, an African-American woman, but I would say do it with humility, with love, with grace, like you would your own sisters. You know what I'm saying? And if you're going to ask questions, just go and say, hey, I have some questions that I would love to ask. I'm sorry if, you know, some of it may sound, and I don't have a better word for what I'm about to say, but ignorant. And that's not a bad word. It just says, I don't know. I've never walked in your shoes. I've never experienced what you've experienced. So can I ask some questions? Because I really do want to know. You know, and I think you have every right to do that. And if you ask it in humility, then really only a jerk would say no. I mean, really, honestly.
Jerks come in all colors.
Yeah, and they come in all colors, absolutely. They do. Oh, and just, and there are things like, you know, because there are a lot of different things that we have in common. I mean, most of the things we have in common. But there are some different cultural things, from the hair to how we do certain things, to things that could be misunderstood if you don't really understand the context. And I've actually been working on a book. I need to just finally put it out, honestly.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, just cross-cultural sisterhood. That would just kind of give you an insight. That would just kind of help you.
Nicole, you could speak to that.
Yeah, I would love to. Like, I love these kind of conversations, and I welcome them, you know. Yeah. Because, yeah, I feel like we make each other better when we know each other better.
So. And unintimidated.
Yeah.
Well, let me just ask you one quick practical question.
Okay, go ahead.
So, like, I used to think it was respectful most to call everyone of color, dark, African-American.
Mm-hmm.
But now I have heard, no, you shouldn't do that. You should call black. But then I've heard, no, only black people are allowed to call people black.
I don't even know. It changes every other day. I'm just going to say, honestly. So we don't even know.
So, like,
okay?
I'm terrified.
We don't even know. And that's sad because everybody is, like, honestly, as an African-American black woman, whatever, as long as you say it with respect. Now, we all know that there are certain words that you probably just shouldn't say at all, okay? Because that'll get you in trouble no matter where you're at. But when it comes to, you know, the new, you know, description today, African-American still works, black works, as long as you say it respectfully. And if you get it wrong, tell the person, you know what, I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to offend you. Yeah. What would you like to be called?
If someone's looking to be offended,
they're going to be offended anyway.
They're going to be offended
absolutely.
No matter what you say.
Absolutely. Right. Now, let me just say this, too. Mm-hmm. This is one of those things that I was talking about in my book, and I'm going to move on to another question in a second. But there are certain things, because of how, like, my mom and my grandmother and them were raised, that they're a lot more sensitive about than you might be. So if you were to approach my mom, and you were not of her age or stage, and you called her by her first name, it would be very offensive. Mm. And to some of you, it might be lightly offensive, but to her and my grandmother and them, it would be very, very offensive, because as they were growing up, they were called gal by seven-year-olds. They were never given their proper respect as Mrs. or Miss or, you know, or Miss Coleman or Grams or something like that. So for my mom these days, and she is a lovely person, but for them, if you were to come in contact with somebody that's in an older age group, it is best to say, hey, what would you like for me to call you? Mm. Instead of just assuming, oh, her name is, you know, Angie. I'm going to call her Angie. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Mm. I mean, my grandmother wouldn't even answer the nurses. If
really?
They called her, yes.
Well, good for her.
Yeah, you know, I'm just saying, until they put a proper handle
right,
on the,
demand that
yeah,
respect.
The title.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, there are just little things like that, and we would know it. Even if they did answer you, we as African-Americans would know that a great trespass has happened, and we'd have to explain it later as to why all of a sudden they went cold. And it's not that you were bad. It's just that you didn't know.
Sure.
So there are little things like that, that if you do know, then it will make the conversation a lot easier. And you'll find, honestly, that you really do have a lot more in common than you do that's, like, totally different. So, yeah.
I heard you say two themes constantly, respect and humility.
Yeah.
Respect and humility.
It works everywhere.
It does.
It's a common language everywhere
good,
you go.
Good word.
Yeah.
I used those things in hockey the other day.
You do what?
You what?
In hockey. And hockey, my kids play hockey.
Oh, hockey. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, respect. You have respect for a person, and you be humble out there on the...
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, it works.
Okay.
Life.
So
it
even works
it's a life
hockey.
Lesson, respect absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I thought you said honky as in the first word of talk. I was like, what That's did she just say?
The first
honky talk.
See, some things y'all can say, I can't say that. I'm just
no,
saying.
No, right? That's what we're talking about.
I don't mind. Okay.
You don't want to say it.
Anyway, next question.
All right. Anyway, okay. Question number four. Let's see. With someone who struggles with reading the Bible, what is your recommendation for them to get into the Word? Like, would you say podcast, audiobooks, certain chapters, certain books in the Bible? Like, what would be your advice?
Well, I'll start. So the best way to start is to start.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So I don't think you need to have a grand plan, but open the book. But if you want to start reading the Bible, you don't start listening to podcasts about the Bible.
That's
you
right.
start reading the Bible.
That's right.
So
that's
the
right.
first thing I would say. But take the pressure off.
Yeah.
I would not, unless you're just feeling led to, you don't need to start with Genesis. Mm-hmm. Start with the main character of the Bible, which is Jesus. You might want to start with the book of John.
Yeah.
Just choose to read one or two verses a day. That's all. I will tell you this. I use a Bible app that I love called Dwell, D-W-E-L-L. And the Dwell Bible app has humans reading to you. And they're from all over the world. So you've got the coolest accents.
Ooh.
They have beautiful music behind them. And my understanding is on the screen you can see beautiful art that depicts what you're listening to. It's a beautiful way to get into Scripture if you're new or if you're just experienced and want to engage more. So it's called Dwell, D-W-E-L-L. You can get to it easy at my website, jenniferrothschild.com/dwell. That's what I would recommend.
That's great. I agree with you. I would definitely start with the Bible in order to start reading the Bible. For me, I would say, you know, one of my favorites in the New Testament is the book of Luke. I know a lot of people like John, and John is a great one to start with as well. But I like Luke. I like the interaction between Jesus and the women that I see there, and that's important to me.
Yes.
And so, when you're approaching it, if you have given your life to Jesus, to God through Jesus, then you have his spirit on the inside of you. So what you can do is you can access him, and you can say, God, I'm asking that your spirit, who is holy, we call him the Holy Spirit, if he would really teach me what it is I need to know, if he would show me what I need to see, if he would open my mind so that I'll understand what I need to understand. If you start there and then you open up the book and you begin to read, you may not understand everything, but I can promise you the something that you do understand is what he wanted you to know.
Yep.
And so if you take it from that point of view, step by step, begin to read it, and where you don't understand, say, God, can you help me? I don't get this right here. I do it all the time.
Me too.
And yeah, and before you know it, he starts explaining it, and it may not be in that second. It might be throughout the day. Mm-hmm. It might be throughout the week. It might be something comes to mind. You're like, oh, now it makes sense. But you've asked. Like I said earlier, Ruth couldn't have access to the Redeemer until she asked. Oh, there's certain good things you cannot have access to, or you won't have access to, until you ask him to show you, to illuminate the scripture, okay? And then read it.
That's good.
Yeah, then do it.
No, Jody, here's what's curious to me, because she and I grew up in the church. The Bible was, you know, always around. What about you coming to Christ in the last several years? Yeah. How did you begin to read the Bible, and how do you now? What works for you?
Yeah. Oh, wow, that's really good.
Because you represent a whole lot of people, which is great.
Yeah, I do. Mm-hmm. Well, with me, I have to learn everything in my mind, which is not actually the way the Bible works. It's good to memorize scripture so that you can call on it and remember, you know, in the middle of feeling horrible about yourself, that you are precious and you are beloved and you are paid for and you are, you know, you're ransomed and you're, you know, all these things that the Lord says that we are. But my road was different. I was like, I need to know more, so I'm going to go to school.
Oh,
and
that's
so
good.
That's where I started. And you were talking about the minor prophets.
Same.
Little guys.
I had gone to a place called the King's University down in South Lake, Texas.
Oh, yeah.
And I would fly there twice a week to go to classes to learn theology and ministry. Because I wanted to learn about the Bible. I'm like, it doesn't make sense to me. I don't get it.
I love that.
And so, but it wasn't the school that taught me. My first semester was the Old Testament. And then my final paper, this is in the Bible, was on the book of Zephaniah.
Yeah.
If you read the first line of Zephaniah, there's only like four chapters in there. It's an easy read. It starts with like, and fire will shoot from the sky,
yeah,
and the destruction of the world. I'm like,
yeah.
But with that, I went back and I read all the prophets.
Yeah.
And so as I'm reading through all the books of the prophets, I was like, oh, he loved us first.
Yeah.
Yes.
He loved us first.
Yeah. Yes.
He kept sending these people going, hey, turn back to me. Look at me. Hey, come back. Look, God is saying, come back. Look my way. And then it just like a hot shower just went, you know, just like, or when you get, you know, the what do you call those? Heat
flashes.
Those things.
She's too young. Yeah. She didn't even know.
Whatever those things are. It's kind of like that, where I was standing in my kitchen, and it was like, he loved us first.
Yeah.
And so then I started to dive in. Once you see how scripture comes to life, how it is living, then you're like, I want more of it. Yeah. I want more of it. I want more of it. And if I feel like I want to know God's love for me, I go to the book of John. Like you were saying, a lot of people start there. John is very descriptive in that. He has that relationship with him. And then Luke was a physician, so his has more of a compassionate feeling side of it. And then Matthew's more, not rigid, but more factual.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so they each reflect their personality. But,
That's good.
I love
That's
that.
Great.
I do. Yeah.
I'm like, I want to go to school.
And I love that. No, and I love something that you've said, too, that both of you all have brought out, were Old Testament books. And I think sometimes people are afraid of the Old Testament because they feel like, well, the God of the Old Testament was so mean, but the God of the New Testament is so nice. That's not true.
No.
It's one God. And he was just as merciful and kind in the Old Testament as we see him in the New Testament.
Preach.
And every book of the Bible speaks of God and his love for us, and it also speaks about Jesus Christ.
Yes, it does.
Old Testament talks about who's to come. The New Testament shows who has come, and he's on both sides. So he's all the above. Was, is, and will be.
Yep.
You know,
amen.
So the whole Bible speaks of him.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so I have another question, and this question is for you, Jody. This question says, are you still married to the man who walked away from you on the porch? Because we want to beat him down. I'm just saying. No. I'm just kidding. Yeah. Okay, I added the last part.
I am not.
Okay. Okay. All right.
There you go.
Enough said. All right. Enough said. All right.
And you know what? That was a good answer.
Good answer. Enough said.
It was.
All right.
It
good
was,
answer.
Yeah. And we're grateful for the grace of God.
Yes, we are. Yep. Thank you, Jesus.
I am not. But it was not an easy thing. I fought with it.
Of
course. And I fought with it for a long time and waited for a few years and waited for him to say, wait, I don't want to lose this family. Yeah. I don't want to lose this family. Please, you know, we can make this work. We can get help. We can pray together. We can. I waited for a couple of years after I filed for him to come around, and he didn't, and so.
He missed
There's
out
women
on,
who yep. understand that.
Yep,
grace, grace.
That's right.
Grace.
He missed out on a treasure.
Yes, he did.
He did.
Yes, he did.
Okay, next question is, how does a Christian woman handle suicidal thoughts?
Ooh, that's good.
The same way any woman handles suicidal thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just start with that. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you may not struggle with this.
Mm-hmm.
So first of all, shame off you, all right?
I like that.
Anyone who struggles with suicidal thoughts, how should you handle that? First, by recognizing that a suicidal thought is a cry for help, and it's a signal that you are a valuable person, and you are so valuable that you are worthy of help and rescue. So when you think those thoughts and feel those feelings, that's your signal. It's not like a little flicker of a fire. It's like a four-alarm fire that says, I am too valuable, even if I don't feel it, I am too valuable to let this thought continue. I'm going to get help. And the first way you get help is you tell somebody who you trust. And then with that somebody, you go to get help. But you're too valuable to allow those thoughts to lie to you and tell you that they are true. Okay? That's my thoughts. What do y'all think?
Yeah, I mean, that's great. That's great.
Okay.
Counseling. The word, believing what God says about you, putting it into action, rebuking the devil.
It's a lie.
Sometimes what we call depression is really the evil spirits trying to torture you and torment your mind.
Mm.
And so some things can be counseled away, and other things have to be cast out.
Mm.
That's what the word says. So sometimes it's a combination of both.
And both.
Say a non-believer or a believer? Or
oh, Christian. But still, for anybody, sorry.
So I would speak from a non-believer perspective, right? Because I didn't know the Lord for most of my life. I'm like, what I do with the rest of it, I don't know. But if you're someone who doesn't have that relationship with Jesus, I would say there is a reality. If you can believe in, you know, the psychic network or whatever people believe in, then you best believe there is a spiritual realm.
That's right, Jody.
You know, if you see people out there, some crazy musician worshiping the devil, you best believe that there is another side.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So worldly, we tend to lean towards the non-Christ things. But when you're in this situation, I'm going to tell you, there is a Satan, and he does not want you find Christ.
That's
because
right.
if he finds Christ, he loses you.
That's right. Yep. He's going to fight against you.
And so there is an enemy. And what he does is he isolates you and shames you. So you have these thoughts of I am not worthy. Mm-hmm. I just want to die. I don't want to be here. I don't want to. Mm-hmm. And the first thing you're going to do is you're going to shut down and isolate yourself. So whether it's a counselor, it doesn't have to be go to your mother,
your grandmother,
to your sister,
yep.
go to
a friend.
Your neighbor,
that's right.
go to your best friend at work,
that's right.
go to someone, and as soon as you speak that out, you crack open the lock of the cage. that Satan has got you in.
Yeah, yep. That's good.
So
that's good.
Speak it out. Speak it out. Speak it out.
That's good.
And I'm not saying like a child, like, oh my gosh, my life is so just, oh, why am I here? I'm not saying that. Say,
be
look,
honest.
I'm scared.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to be here right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I need help. Will you please help me?
Yeah.
And I just have to tell somebody I've thought of taking my own life because I just don't want to see tomorrow.
Yeah.
So at that point, as soon as you speak it out,
yeah,
you'll notice it's all of a sudden like clink.
It loses its
and
power.
And one, it loses its power.
Yeah. Sorry. Very true. No, very
and that's
good.
So brave.
Very
so
good.
If you are in this room,
yes,
be brave. You are worthy and valuable. And do not believe the lie that echoes through your head that the world would be better or wouldn't even miss you if you were gone. It's a lie. It's a lie.
It's a lie. Very good. Okay, one more question. I'm going to bat this one to you, Jennifer. This one says, have you ever had insecurities with your condition or being blind in general? Have you ever?
Have I ever? How many should I list for you
whatever,
right this minute?
Whatever.
Let me just, yes or no? Are you insecure in some areas?
Yeah.
Are you insecure in some areas?
Yeah, absolutely. Who's not?
We all are.
Absolutely.
I love the question because to me it represents this, well, I'm not saying this questioner says this, but this represents a myth that we all think that she doesn't struggle with what I do. Mm-hmm. She's got it all together and I don't. That it's such a lie. I don't even try anymore to get rid of my insecurity. Mm-hmm. I don't even try. I just try to manage it. Mm. Because here's the thing. My insecurity shows up in comparison, in my, I have the best rewind button. You cannot release it from my life. Mm. I rewind everything. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. Why didn't I mention this? How could I have said
but
that?
But you come across as if you don't have insecurities.
Exactly. And that's the point.
That's the point, yeah.
That's the point. Mm-hmm. I will say, I have learned to manage my insecurities through humility. That's what I mean. I don't try to get rid of them because trying to get rid of them is just another avenue of pride.
Yeah.
Look what I conquered.
Yeah.
I got no insecurities. Mm. Oh, dang. I got so many insecurities. So I manage them through humility. Now, are they exacerbated through blindness? Absolutely. Does it drive me crazy that I look at these two women, try to have a conversation and cannot see them to know who's talking when, etc.? Does it bother me to be standing in a group and someone walks away and I start to have a conversation and don't know they're there? Do I feel like an idiot? Absolutely. But have I had to try to get over it and realize, Jennifer, you can either be full of pride and be humiliated by that, or you can acknowledge, I'm blind. Blind people can't see. I will humble myself and be who I am until God changes it. And I'm telling you, life's easier.
Yeah.
So don't try to just fix all your problems. Just be who you are within your weakness. Mm. Be okay with it. Mm. Let God be strong there. And I'm telling you, I have learned in my life, my biggest problem will never be blindness. It will be pride.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Discontent.
That's right.
But when I am walking with the Lord in such a way that I am content and that I am humble, then the insecurities of blindness aren't what take me down.
Yeah.
So I guess I would say that to all of us.
Yeah, that's that'll preach in it.
Because we're all insecure.
That'll preach.
Yeah, we're all insecure.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, let me see. We don't have any more time, Nicole, do we?
No, your husband
we got.
Says,
no. Okay, Phil, I got to ask one more question.
Okay.
This is our last thing. Let's just make it as concise as possible. What would we say to our younger selves? Because I think that was one of the questions I thought was fascinating.
Yes.
Nicole, what would you say to your younger self?
Don't stress about who you are not. Be content in who you are and who God is making you into.
Okay. Jody, what would you say to your younger self?
I know the answer. I've been asked this. Don't sell out who you are for success. Hmm. That, if you look at my
room,
you know, don't sell out who you are just to be successful.
Yeah.
Because, yeah.
I think what I would say to my younger self is similar, and it's that, well, you're okay, Jennifer.
Yeah.
You're okay. You don't have to strive so hard.
Yeah.
You're okay.
Yeah.
Your best is okay.
Mm-hmm. And you're brilliant. Just saying.
And become friends with Nicole at 16.
Or whatever.
So she can tell you you're brilliant, and you'll actually believe
okay?
it.
You are.
But you know what I think of when I hear that, y'all?
What?
We are our younger selves.
That's
this is as young as we're going to get.
That's the truth. That's true.
So if we would have said it to us then, let's say it to us now.
That's right. That's
all right,
right,
would you thank these girls? Right. The beans
thank
are
you.
Officially spilled.
Thank you.
Rocked it. Thank you. Oh, my gosh, I love you guys.
You guys too.
Oh, that was awesome.